The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
I'm sure many of you will want to get in touch about this very first item. It's about plans to pedestrianise other parts of Dublin City Centre, Merrion Row, Mary Street and Capel Street. This in a bid to get more people back into town once restrictions are lifted. Of course, there was a pedestrianisation last summer of different streets around the Grafton area. And we had the news that we covered last week on the show, 17 streets in Cork going to be permanently pedestrianised. So how will all of this work in practical terms, and how well will it work for residents, for traders, for business owners and for visitors? Well, Martin Hart from the Temple Bar Trading Company joins me now. Martin, you know all about doing business in a pedestrianised area. In broad terms, do you welcome the expansion of the pedestrianised options in Dublin?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, given what's happening to the city in terms of the pandemic and has been over the last 2 years, and not only Dublin City, but cities generally, I think across the globe, this emphasis on outdoor dining or outdoor socialising or outdoor trading is becoming a major ask. And I think every day when you're listening to shows like your own and others, you're being reminded that you're, you know, multiple of times safer outdoor than indoor. So I think we've created a situation, or a situation has been created for us, that people want to go outside and are going to feel safer outside. So I think it's an outdoor summer. So the only way you can facilitate that, if you look at areas like Dublin City, is to pedestrianise greater parts of the city to make it more accessible. Now, Temple Bar has been pedestrianised, or largely pedestrianised, for a large number of years. Not always enforced, but it certainly had a vibrant pedestrian space. Again, in terms of additional plans, I mean, we'd like to see greater parts of the area pedestrianised to enable people to eat outside or to socialise outside. And I think it's going to be really necessary to reopen Dublin City safely. So I don't think this is a case of if or when. It's how this happens and when it happens, because I think that the future of the city is at stake here in terms of the economic life of the city, certainly.
Yeah, so some of the opposition I've heard to it, Martin, has been kind of focused on traffic and the impact on traffic. I've heard very few people just being opposed, you know, in principle, to any pedestrianisation of streets. But they look at some of these streets, particularly something like Merrion Row, which, for people who don't know Dublin, it takes an awful lot of the traffic from around Stephen's Green and sends it down towards the south end of the city and the south end of Dublin County and further. It's a busy little street, And if all that traffic had to be displaced, it would go somewhere else. I mean, how worried are you about the planning of all of this?
Well, not hugely. I think, look, this whole argument for, you know, displacing traffic in Dublin City and other places has been going on for decades. And if we were to listen to that, you wouldn't have pedestrianised Grafton Street or Henry Street or Temple Bar. I mean, we'd still be driving up to the front door of our pubs and restaurants and driving home, probably. But we're not in the 1970s. We're moving away from kind of a car-based economy where people have to come into the city. That's not happening really anywhere across the globe, with the exception of American cities and some American cities. So, you know, I think, look, that horse is bolted. You know, we have to look at the future of the city, and it's not going to be car dependent. It hasn't been. I think, you know, if you look at the restrictions on speed limits and one way systems, and, you know, the provision of additional cycle lanes and so on throughout the city, like, we are moving away from a car based economy. Like, don't forget, in the 1960s and the 1970s, the future of the city was going to be bus. I mean, Temple Bar was going to be a bus depot. You know, Skidmore awnings had the plans drawn up and it was all ready. I mean, they were going to demolish, I think, in the 1980s, Professor Gall O'Neill was telling me they were going to demolish the buildings on the quays to enable larger, you know, motorways to allow cars come in. That's gone. That horse is bolted. City is, I suppose, cycling and pedestrian friendly. I mean, we have to move with the time. Of course, people are going to be opposed to it, but people are going to be opposed to most things. I mean, that's, you know, the people are either for things or against them. You know, obviously we're in the for camp, but yeah. I just think that whole horse has bolted. The issue, the debate that, oh no, you need to be able to drive your car into the city. You don't.
There is some of the big ticket retailers say you do need to be able to drive the car in.
Really? I mean,
hard to carry a telly on the bus.
When does yeah, but I mean, there's delivery, there's click and collect. I mean, I think we're gone beyond that. When's the last time somebody drives your car into wherever Henry Street and picks up a TV and drives home? I think, look, there's solutions in terms of click and collect and delivery and so on and so forth. So I don't think that's an argument now. It may have been 10 years ago. I think even the pandemic itself has exacerbated this whole issue in terms of how people buy and their behavior. Will people be buying anything in Dublin city centre in the coming years? Is retail dying? Is it dead? Have we seen a move? Now, retail has been suffering for many, many years, not just here, but across most of Western Europe. So, no, I don't take any of those as legitimate arguments. I think the city is in a process of change. It's been exacerbated by COVID, but let's make the most of it and try and make it a better, more livable, more sociable, more a nicer city.
Yeah. Joe was after texting in at 53106. By all means, allow towns and city restaurants occupy footpaths as long as narrow streets and laneways are left free for pedestrians to pass along. Passers-by dodging between outdoor tables is not the answer for diners or pedestrians. I suppose Joe making the point, if you want people to have outdoor dining, you've got to make space then for the pedestrians and you've got to use the roads for it. Martin, don't go anywhere. 53106 is the number. 1894531106. I'd love to hear people's views on this. You can call me on that number. And Nigel Dugdale from Limerick is on the line. Nigel, we're talking about this in the context of Dublin. There's been a decision in Cork. You think Limerick should follow suit? Is that right?
Absolutely. And I mean, I have to take my hat off to Cork, who, you know, always been fighting to be Ireland's second city and sort of are leading the way. And this one, Dublin now following. And, you know, I've heard that places like Waterford are already looking at it. I think Limerick finds itself in a difficult position at the moment because we have two parties that are involved. And in fact, we have three. One is the group of people who see the future as being pedestrianisation, making the public realm and the city centre a place that is livable and enjoyable to be around. The others are people who've maybe traded in the city for 20, 30, 40 years and probably are stuck in their ways in terms of how things are done. And then you have the local authority who, in fairness to them, do attempt to try things but tend to be shouted down by voices that particularly have the loudest sound at the moment, which might be the retailers and the business people who've been in town for a long time. I think what we've noticed in Limerick over the last couple of, definitely over the last couple of months, is when the city has calmed and when cars haven't been coming through, there is a nicer vibe within the city centre. People have rediscovered the riverfront in Limerick now, something that tended to be forgotten by people for a long time. So it's an interesting one to watch. There's this Four Bridges now that's been created in Limerick, which has become an incredibly popular walk. Yet car traffic is still a dominant thing on those areas.
Yeah.
So I'd be looking at using our waterfront potentially as looking at that's where you might focus a lot of your pedestrianisation if the traders are still concerned about their streets being. But I think the biggest pity that we have is that currently we're starting an O'Connell Street project, which is a multi-million redevelopment and redesign of O'Connell Street, the main thoroughfare coming through the city.
Yeah.
Instead of making that pedestrian and being an incredibly wonderful boulevard in the heart of Limerick City, we are allowing buses and cars to dominate the design of that still.
I wonder, Nigel, I don't want to be unfair to retailers, but you know, high street retail has its challenges, particularly with the development of shopping centres and these retail parks on the edge of towns and cities in the last few years. And to what extent in Limerick is the experience when you talk about pedestrianisation a pushback from retailers? Because understandably, you know, if things were better, you know, 10, 15 years ago, when people could drive in and people were coming in, maybe that's what they still want.
And I see that, and unfortunately with certain retailers, you see, very quickly over a period of a few years, the people's way of shopping has changed. Over the last year, I don't think I have personally physically bought anything in a store because we haven't been able to. That has not stopped me, including electrical items, including heavier items, having things delivered to my home. Now, if we're going to look at the future, I can't tell people what's, you know, I'm not Nostradamus, but it does suggest to me that more experiential things are going to be the futures of how town centres and city centres operate. And that's where we need to be putting our energy. And out of town, in Limerick particularly, we've already suffered from out of town shopping centres being developed across all four corners of Limerick.
Yeah.
No one stopped those being developed 20 years ago. And now we're left with a hollowed out city centre. But what's unique for Limerick is that it's an opportunity to refocus our energies on what we want Limerick to be. And I think it can be about experiential. I think it can be about our outdoor public realm. I think it can be about our riverfront and the waterfront activities that we have. And I think Limerick could be a place that is uniquely special if we focus our energies well.
Well, Frank MacDonald, the former environment editor with the Irish Times and a Temple Bar resident, is on the line as well. Frank, are you enthused by the notion that you'd be able to walk from your beloved Temple Bar on pedestrianised streets? You'd have to cross Dame Street, but then up a pedestrianised Grafton Street and then down to a pedestrianised Merrion Row.
Well, I mean, I think that obviously in relation to restaurants, one of the great advantages of excluding traffic is that they can put out outdoor tables, and that worked very well in Dublin during the summer, where South Anne Street and Duke Street and other areas of the city centre were closed to traffic, and the restaurants, you know, could cater for people who actually wanted to eat outdoors. And we've all had experience of that in other cities like Barcelona or Paris or Amsterdam or Berlin or whatever. And, you know, civilised outdoor dining is fine. But I think, you know, there's also dangers involved, and particularly in Temple Bar.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the pubs have outdoor enclosures. You know, people drink outdoors. The ones who can't smoke cigarettes inside, they're congregate in the street instead. And that can lead to raucous behaviour, especially when they have a few pints on board. So, you know, I remember when a couple of weeks ago, Gina Murphy, who runs Hugo's restaurant in Merrion Row, put together a fantastic case for it, Merrion Row, to be pedestrianised, because it's a very narrow street and there's several restaurants along it. And they all wanted to put out outdoor tables and so on. And I spotted provision for a bandstand in the plan. And I said, surely you're not going down the rock band route. And she said, no, not at all. It'd be more like chamber music or whatever, which would be quite civilised. But if you were to go down to pre-pandemic, to the junction of Dame Court and Dame Lane, just behind Dame Street, where there's four pubs trading and all with outdoor enclosures and huge congregations of people. I mean, literally thronged with drinkers. And at weekend nights, they were being entertained by a five-piece rock band playing music at 100 decibels. So, you know, I think a balance needs to be struck, obviously, between, you know, the needs of restaurants for outdoor space in these COVID times, but also not necessarily to encourage pubs to have outdoor enclosures, as so many of them already do.
Making these streets, I suppose, Martin and Nigel used the phrase livable. That's an important part of it.
Well, exactly. And I mean, nobody actually could live in Dame Court or Dame Lane because of the noise of the outdoor, all the outdoor drinking and the rock band performing and so on and so forth. And the same is true of places that have external loudspeakers to keep their patrons entertained, you know, with a DJ or whatever playing indoors. Or, you know, in other cases, there's impediments, like, for example, South William Street. You know, I mean, that has lots of restaurants along the route, especially at the lower end. But the problem is that the exit from the Brown Thomas car park is on South William Street. And that is something that needs to be sorted out, because, as Martin Hart said earlier on, you know, like, that derives from a time when, you know, there was a felt need to cater for cars in the city, and that shoppers coming into town in cars, you know, needed places to park them and so on and so forth. So you ended up with these multi-storey car parks that are now inconveniently located in relation to, you know, the kind of city that we might like to have.
Yeah.
And don't forget also that the biggest plan of all is for College Green, where the plan there is to exclude traffic, turn it into a pedestrian zone, and extend that zone all along Dame Street as far as the junction with Georgia Street. And you know, that could be wonderful in many ways. But on the other hand, if that street ends up being lined with pubs with outdoor enclosures and, you know, big crowds of raucous drinkers, that's That's going to be a problem.
On that note, someone says there's pedestrianisation in Killarney and Plunkett Street. It has led to groups drinking on the side lanes and a lot of antisocial behaviour. It suits some businesses like restaurants and bars, but is anti-retail in my opinion. Someone else though says, I'm a restaurant manager and one of the recently pedestrianised streets in Cork City. We view the move from the City Council as extremely positive. Ireland needs to nurture the growth of destination streets as seen throughout the rest of Europe. I would urge the people of Dublin to embrace the change, but as a proud Corkonian, I have the secret agenda of claiming the status of the real capital. Listen, thank you all for your time. Martin Hart from the Temple Bar Trading Company, Frank MacDonald, former environment editor with the Irish Times, and Nigel Dugdale, who got in touch as well from a Limerick point of view. Keep your own points of view coming in on this and the pedestrianisation of streets wherever you happen to live in the country. I'd love to see more of them in Kilkenny as well, for example. 53106, or you can call me 1890 453106.